This is the parallax for Thursday, April 9th, 2026. Multiple angles, one picture. Here's what you need to know today. We begin with a sharp divide over the Iran conflict playing out in Congress. House Democrats, led by Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, attempted Thursday to pass a war powers resolution requiring President Trump to withdraw U.S. forces from the Middle East. Republicans blocked the measure, preventing it from advancing. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer announced plans to force a similar vote in the Senate, though notably, Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania broke with his party, vowing to block that Senate effort. The coverage here reveals starkly different framings. The Guardian reports that Democrats used the vote as a signal of unease on Capitol Hill about a Middle Eastern conflict on pause with no clear endgame, acknowledging the vote was always expected to fail. Fox News reports Republicans successfully blocked what it calls Jeffries' gambit. But Newsmax goes further, quoting Republican lawmakers who characterize the Democratic effort not as a genuine national security concern, but as a broader political effort targeting the president rather than a consistent stance, language that fundamentally reframes the Democrats' intent. Turning now to the diplomatic front, Vice President J.D. Vance is heading to Islamabad on Saturday for what Axios describes as the highest-level U.S.-Iran talks since the 1979 Islamic Revolution. Before arriving, Vance warned Tehran that the U.S. has all the cards and that Iran cannot be permitted a nuclear weapon. Yet there's significant uncertainty about these talks' prospects. Al Jazeera reports that U.S. officials are offering conflicting interpretations of Iran's 10-point peace proposal, with Vance claiming the plan has changed while Iran disputes that characterization. Axios calls this a crucial tipping point, noting that failure could lead to resumption and escalation of the war, making this the most significant and challenging mission in Vance's political career. But the Washington Examiner offers a different angle entirely, reporting that Vance's aides are not publicly promoting his achievements, and his influence has largely operated behind a wall of silence. These aren't different facts, they're different assessments of Vance's visibility and influence in this moment. The ceasefire announced just this week is already showing severe strain. President Trump publicly criticized NATO after meeting with Secretary General Mark Rutte Wednesday, saying the alliance wasn't there when we needed them during the Iran war. Reuters reports separately that Rutte has briefed European capitals that Trump wants concrete commitments within days for help securing the Strait of Hormuz. Meanwhile, on the ground in the Middle East, the situation is deteriorating rapidly. The two-week ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran announced Tuesday is fraying as both sides offer divergent accounts of what was agreed. The Strait of Hormuz remains effectively closed. Only four ships crossed in the first 24 hours, none carrying oil or gas. Iran halted oil tanker passage, citing Israeli attacks on Lebanon as a ceasefire violation. Trump warned Wednesday night that U.S. military assets would remain in the region until a real agreement is reached and fully complied with, and that strikes would resume if Iran did not comply with his peace terms, including keeping the strait open and halting nuclear enrichment. Here's where the outlets diverge significantly. The Guardian reports the ceasefire looked in peril as both sides gave divergent versions of what had been agreed. The BBC quotes Iran's deputy foreign minister directly, saying Israeli strikes in Lebanon constitute a grave violation of the ceasefire and that the U.S. must choose between war and ceasefire. NPR emphasizes the conflicting messages about ceasefire terms themselves. But Zero Hedge focuses on market impact, reporting that stock futures slid as traders watched the fragile U.S.-Iran ceasefire shatter by the hour. Each outlet is reporting the same crisis through a different lens, diplomatic, humanitarian, and financial. Adding to that crisis, Israeli airstrikes on Lebanon killed at least 182 people in a single large wave of attacks, according to BBC reporting, hitting Beirut's southern suburbs, southern Lebanon, and the Bekaa Valley in the hours after the ceasefire was announced. Lebanese civil defense put the total killed since the ceasefire at 254. Iran cited these strikes as grounds for threatening to withdraw from Saturday's Islamabad talks. That's the parallax for Thursday, April 9th. Thanks for listening.